Welcome to the Edu All-Stars Podcast.
Hey guys, and welcome to the 45th episode of Edu All-Stars, where we don't have our act together. My name is Todd Nesloni. You can find me on Twitter at TechNinjaTodd, and my co-hosts today are...
My name is Chris Kessler. You can find me on Twitter at IamKessler.
My name is Keegan Wade. You can find me on Twitter at NaGeek14.
We'd just like to welcome everyone to the podcast this evening. Thank you so much for leaving responses and feedback on iTunes. We're super appreciative. All the comments on the blog post, really appreciative and really like reading that stuff. If you get a chance, that really helps out our ratings, and just would appreciate it if you could do that for us. Also, you can catch our previous shows on eduallstars.com/podcast. You can also find them on iTunes by searching out Edu All-Stars.
And we, this episode of Edu All-Stars is sponsored by GoNoodle. Here at Edu All-Stars, we are all about using technology and fun to help students be their best. GoNoodle Brain Breaks are designed to help kids get their wiggles out, refocus the classroom, and stimulate learning in 5 minutes or less. I use GoNoodle often in my class because it's free, super easy to use, and offers a variety of activities like running, jumping, dancing, and my students' current favorite, singing Let It Go from Frozen. So if you go to our website, eduallstars.com, we have a link on the website that you can use to sign up for your GoNoodle account today, and we just want to thank GoNoodle for sponsoring Edu All-Stars for this episode.
And as you listen to this week's episode, we encourage you to tweet out using the hashtag EduAllStars. We love seeing all your tweets and conversations and hearings about the things that really stick out to you and that you enjoy.
And we are excited about our guest tonight. We have Jeremy Heath, a fifth grade teacher in Washington, who was also a top six finalist for People Magazine's Teacher of the Year. So thank you, Jeremy, for joining us this evening.
Hey, nice to be here. Woo!
Ah,
episode 45,
all right. Jeremy has no lack of energy.
I'm doing a GoNoodle exercise.
There we go. Way to support our sponsor. Thanks, Jeremy. So, Jeremy, tell us a little about your background and how you ended up in education.
Essentially, I was in college, and I knew I wanted to do something where I enjoyed going to work every day. I volunteered at different elementary schools in high school and in college, and it was one morning I remember waking up excited to go volunteer, and I said, why don't I just make this my career? So I started volunteering all day on Friday. I even arranged my class schedule so I could volunteer. I mean, I really got my feet wet. I love kids. I love working with kids. I hate to say it, that it's kind of cliche, but I really love working with kids, and I knew I always wanted to.
So have you always taught fifth grade?
No, I've taught fifth grade. This is my sixth year. I've taught first grade, second grade, third grade, fifth grade, fourth grade, summer school.
So which one's your favorite?
I don't really have a favorite. Each one has its challenges, and each one has its rewards. I like the little kids because I can really be goofy, but it takes them forever to, like, do everything. Like, line takes 10 minutes. I like the older kids because you can have a deeper conversation with them. But then again, then you have the teaching them how to grow up and deal with social issues and those things. So I really have my favorite. They're all my favorite.
Cool. So you're kind of known for creativity in your classroom, and you jump in and out of different characters. And I've seen all kinds of images where you set your classroom up to different themes and everything. When did you start dressing up and kind of transforming your classroom space?
I started my student teaching to get the kids hooked on the learning. I want to make it fun. I want to make it an experience. I like watching kids smile. So my first costume would be, it was just a Dr. Seuss hat, and then that transformed into different characters like Abraham Lincoln or the Cat in the Hat and things like that. And they really, really love it, and I love it too. I like being I like to call myself an edutainer, part educator, part entertainer. It makes me want to come to work, and it's a challenge to find new costumes to fit new scenarios, and they just love it.
So what are some of the current scenarios that you do in your classroom?
I have, I start off with a jungle theme, then I transition to a mad scientist theme, Greek and Roman theme, let's see, Dr. Seuss theme, Mario theme, tropical theme, pirate theme, and I'm starting a new one, a culture theme, which is like countries from around the world. So it's like it's a small world ride.
Wow.
I gotta say, I've seen the pictures. I think the Mario one is hilarious. I love that you dress up like Mario and Luigi and then design the entire... Like, I think that's what's different about what I've seen about the things that you do is it's a full immersion experience. I mean, you fully go... You change everything about the class. And just now I had a change.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. For those of you listening in your cars, we now have Mario as the guest speaker on our podcast this evening.
We do, but the stash keeps falling off. I can't even find it right now. Oh, his brother, because everybody looks for his brother all the time. Where's Luigi? There's Luigi.
So how do you decide some of these themes?
I create them. It came from my passion. I mean, I liked Mario Brothers when I was a kid, so I think, what did I really like when I was a kid? I like superheroes, I like Mario, I like pirates, I like adventure, I like pretending. So I get to go to work and pretend for a living. It feels weird because some days I'm like, really? People are paying me to do this? This is crazy. I get to have fun.
That's awesome.
Do you dress in character every day?
Not every day, but frequently. I really try to do it during the lessons that aren't the most engaging to get engagement out of them. But the kids look forward to it, too, and they chime in and they put on their own costumes. They love doing it as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now you've become really passionate about sharing your ideas online. And you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're here.
He's listening.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So you've become really passionate about sharing your ideas online. You just recently got started on social media. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey into social media?
I love social media now. It's a great tool for teachers. It was the People Magazine thing that got me into it. Janine Letford, which was another finalist, I reached out to her and said, hey, we're both in this contest together. Good luck. And she actually referred me to Twitter and said, you should get on Twitter. And ever since then, I've just been loving sharing ideas about different things. It's cool to actually put an idea out there, somebody use it, and then bring it back. They send pictures or videos. They say, wow, I used your idea. And then I say, oh, I didn't think about that way to use it, and then I adapt my own ideas, and we're just sharing and collaborating. It's awesome.
That's awesome.
Now, you mentioned being a top 6 finalist for People's Teacher of the Year, and we were going to ask about that. Tell us a little bit about how that happened and what that was like.
I was sitting at my computer, and a friend had said, here's a contest, you should really check it out. I was kind of 20% interested. I said, yeah, sure, okay. Well, that's a lot of people that are entering this. I don't know if I can do it. I actually turned to my students and said, what do you think? Do you think I should enter this? And they actually were cheering me on. They gave me suggestions. So it was actually, it sounds weird, but my students are the ones that pushed me to do it. I typed up a letter. I had my students read the letter. They said, yeah, but you should make a change in that and make a change in this. Oh, by the way, speaking of my students, I'm going to go back to this story. But they wrote me tips for today's podcast. So these are tips for Mr. Heath for today's podcast. Don't laugh too much. Apparently I laugh too much. There's too much happiness going on, too much happiness.
Too much happiness.
Wear fun stuff. Done.
Yeah, definitely.
Funny voices. I don't know if I'm going to do that. Be serious sometimes. But only sometimes. Only sometimes be serious. Do shout-outs. This is a shout-out to Rama. What's up? Oh, she's going to love that. What's up?
There's the voices.
Number 6 is pay attention. I do have some sort of attention disorder. Talk to Tom about it. Todd. Oh, so sorry. Todd, Tom, whatever. Tell funny stories. I don't have any of those. And number 8, don't mess up. That's important. All right, back to my... Then they wrote back a letter that I was a finalist, and then they chose 6 of us, put us up on the webpage, and said, go ahead and vote for whoever you think deserves it. I didn't win, but I did get my kids on a talk show, and they loved that. And it also gave our school some really great press, and also teachers all around really great press, because we are doing really cool things. And it's an honor and a privilege, and it's always great to be recognized and appreciated in our community.
So, with all the creative things that you do in your classroom, do you ever have issues with students having overload from all the distractions, or do they adapt pretty well?
You would think I would, but I don't. I actually have kids that you would think would be all over the place, but it keeps them focused. And when your room is crazy all the time, and you're not looking at me, you're looking at the room, I actually don't mind, because the room is actually engulfing you into the lesson. So if you're staring off into space, the space has stuff on it that I want you to learn. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a real good point.
Hi.
Yeah, sorry. I got a little lag. No worries, no worries. I got a little lag.
Six here. Pay attention. What's going on?
So, recently you also got selected to go to China over the summer. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sorry, wardrobe change.
So now we have a mad scientist.
We sure do. I did get selected to go to China. That's awesome. I want to learn about my kids' culture. And one way to do it is to go to another country and experience life from the perspective as my students. I'm always trying to make connections, build relationships with my kids. I am lucky enough to work in a district where I have kids from all different countries represented. I have Ukraine, Somalia, Samoa, St. Marshall Islands, which I didn't even know where it was until I have a student from there. They even have their own language, apparently. So I get to go to China, and I'm going to take all of those experiences in and see what it's like living and working and going to school in a new country where you don't speak the language, so that I can feel both empathy and I can see the world through the eyes of my students, and therefore I can adapt their environment, and I can meet their needs better by knowing about what they need.
Is this something you're doing on your own, or are you going with a group? Or
I applied for it. There was a grant that I applied for. Again, I asked my students, should I do this thing? and they were with me all the way. I applied. I did an interview, and I got selected. There's going to be four of us going. And it's four teachers from the Washington area, and we're going to go for 2 weeks, learn about some things, come back, and share it with our colleagues.
That's awesome.
So what are all the things you're going to do while you're there?
Oh, my gosh.
Background change.
Cool stuff there, man. That's what we're going to do. I have no idea what we're going to do. That's why I'm going. I actually attended... But what I do know is I'm going to get to learn, grow, talk to teachers, experience different art, culture, religion, and then take all that back to my students.
Yeah. No. I'll give him a minute.
Keegan, that's you.
Oh, I'm waiting for him to turn on his black light.
Yeah!
Pretty obviously, you're quite the character in your classroom. Does that also transfer over to your life outside of school?
No, I'm very boring. I'm a boring
I do not believe that.
Yes and no. I mean, I am a character at work. On my off hours, my friends think I'm somewhat of a character, I guess. But I really am a little tame. It's only when I go to work, I'm surrounded by children, that I just get energized and pumped up because I get to be a kid, obviously. when I go to work, I drink about a pot of coffee a day. And when I get home, I'm wiped out. I'm just totally wiped. I think that all teachers are wiped at the end of the day, and we're all kind of exhausted.
Did you just say you drink a pot of coffee a day?
A pot of coffee a day. Yeah, man.
That explains a lot. So that leads great into the next question. Some teachers may look at some of the stuff you do, Jeremy, and ask, you know, how do you find the time? How do you find the resources? What would your response be to that?
That is a good question, and I would say that you don't have to find all the resources that I'm using. It just so happens that my job is also my hobby, and I do have time in my life for it, but we all do different things in different ways. Somebody might find resources at a teacher store. Some people might find resources online. I just so happen to make my own. We all have different ways to connect. I like that people maybe would use my ideas and adapt them, but we all have different ways of using our time. And my heart goes out to those people that have, you know, their own families and a full load at home. Like my colleagues, they have 4 or 5 children at home, 3 children, doesn't matter the number, but they have a full family and they're doing this as their career. Kudos goes out to them because they're really working hard. It's people like me that might have a little extra time more than they do that could help provide activities and resources for them. That makes me feel better and makes me feel good that I'm sharing with teammates who wouldn't ordinarily get the chance to do that.
Okay. So have you ever considered selling some of your ideas?
No. I don't feel comfortable with making money off of teaching ideas. I want to give everything out for free because the big reason why I do this is the feeling that I get. I don't do it for the paycheck, and I don't think you're ever going to hear a teacher say, I'm a teacher. Hayes, I know that everybody's struggling, so why would I charge somebody, say, oh, give me $5 for this idea? I just want to give it to them. The feeling that I get of somebody maybe benefiting in a learning way, adding excitement to their life, somebody's enjoying something that I made, that's a good feeling, and that's what I get out of it. And in some ways, it does feel a little selfish because I get that feeling. But everything's free. Everything's free. I love sharing, and I love collecting ideas.
Cool. Is there a moment in your career where you kind of look back and something you're really proud of accomplishing?
I don't know.
As the mad scientist stares into space.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really fit
in. I'm proud of a lot of things. I don't know. You know what I really am proud of? I'm proud when a student... Okay, here's the deal. I just recently got a letter from a student who drove me crazy, like a mad scientist. He drove me crazy every day, and I thought that he hated my guts. He's like, oh, man, you're killing me with all this. And it's that challenging student that we all have. I just got a letter from him after that People magazine thing came out and said, I saw that you won that award. You truly deserve it. You're the best teacher I ever had. I was so confused by that letter. I could have sworn he hated my guts. But the fact that he, years later, reflected on it and said, you know what, you pushed me. You knew what was best for me. Those are the moments I'm more proud of. I'm not proud of awards or recognition or things like that. It's when a kid says thank you or when the recess bell rings and nobody moves because they all want to stay in and do the activity. Those are the things I'm proud of.
What do your coworkers think of all this? Like, what are they when they come into your room and they are, like, with nothing on their walls and they come into your room and you got, you know, Super Mario World 8-2 on your wall, you know?
Oh. We're at background change and costume change now.
Okay, here we go. Is this on right? No. Okay. Get it together. Get it together, Heath. Okay. All right. We're ready to go.
All right.
My coworkers think I'm nuts. I don't know where they get this impression from. They know I love teaching. They know I love life. They know I love kids. I feel like my informal job is to spread cheer and happiness. I try to get them to smile, crack a few jokes, walk by somebody in the hallway. I'm not the guy to go to for a serious conversation. I'm the guy to go to maybe say, oh, these meetings, they really stink. I need some sort of relief. Jeremy, take my mind off of it. That's how I feel I fit into the scheme of things. I also fit professional-wise by adding a new perspective of a kid, tapping into what a kid thinks, what a kid likes, what a kid feels, and just reminding people, you were a kid once. I know you remember way down in there. I know you remember. Just bring it out. What did you like when you were a kid?
Now, Jeremy, you also just got a BAM Radio Network show, correct?
I did, but anybody can get one. Any teacher can sign up to get one. The reason why I signed up is I do like sharing ideas, but it was a cool way of getting my students to use technology to communicate their ideas, because, you know, it's all about technology and finding different venues and ways to share ideas. So when BAM Radio said, hey, we think you'd be interested and be a great fit for one of our shows, you can create your own, go ahead and pilot it out. If you go to BAM Radio, I think it's called Beta Pulse, any teacher can create their shows. You can put them up online, do whatever you want with them. They're really fun. Parents love them. Kids love them.
They're so how can we find your show?
You got to type in my name correctly, because I'm not Jerome Health. I'm Jeremy Heath, and then at BAM Radio. Or you can just type in BAM Radio and then click on the pulse. Look at me doing this, like I can see it in air. I see it now. There it is. You click there, and then you scroll down, and then you click it again. Anybody can find it. It's BAM Pulse. But anybody can have their own radio show. I highly recommend it. It's pretty cool. It's a great tool to use.
Now, I have another question. Have you ever had any issues with parents and the, you know, your classroom has to be this creative, engulfing environment. Have you ever had parents just not agree with that and just try to buck that?
No! Oh, wait. You're having too much fun in there. Knock it off. No. Parents love it. Are you kidding me? Okay, the parents, see, I teach fifth graders, so a lot of them are my age, and I'm 30. So they all come in and go, whoa, Mario Brothers, this is cool. I mean, it's really them act like a kid too. Or they come in and there's a jungle theme. They love my themes just as much as the kids do. I've never had a problem. Now, to say I've never had a problem with parents, what teacher's ever said that? Yeah, right. But having problems with parents complaining about how much fun I am, that's a buzzkill. If that ever happens, I'm leaving the profession, man.
What about state tests? Do you do state tests in fifth grade like we do here or not?
Shh, that's a cuss word. Don't be saying state tests. Calm down. We're having a good time here and you're saying state tests. Of course we have state tests. I have found that over the last couple years, the more I make connections with my kids, the more I try to engage them in the learning, the higher the test scores get. I've stopped focusing on what I was teaching and try to shove it into their brain, and I focus more on the actual kid, make connections with the child, talk about why do you have struggles with this, what can I do to help you. The more I focused on the child as a learner, the higher the test scores went up. I don't have a specific feeling about state tests, and in some ways it doesn't matter. How do you feel about state tests? Oh, they're still here. I can't do anything about it, but I can get the kids ready for it. I can also tell the kids the importance of a state test, but I can also tell them it's not the end-all, be-all in your life. Unfortunately, a lot of us, and any career really, we have evaluations and tests of our own. So to approach in a way where I can prepare them mentally and say, you're ready for this, you can do this, I feel like that's my role at this point, not to discourage them or to say, oh, we're taking a test today. Actually, if you change your language and say, we get to take a test, yay, then they actually cheer up.
That's good. Now, if someone were to describe you in three words, what words would you hope that they would use?
Let's see. Wait, I need another. Let's see here.
All right, there we go.
I would say, exactly. Now the wardrobe is complete. Yeah, first of all, before I answer your question, have you read this Flipping 2.0 book? This is a wonderful... I mean, I don't have one myself because I know one of the co-authors, he hasn't sent me a free book yet, but this is a great read from what I hear.
It is, and you know, the co-author may have not sent you a free book, but you can talk to his mother, too, who didn't get a free copy.
What? That's your mother, man! That's your mother! I would say three words to describe me would be hopefully entertaining or funny, Passionate and energetic.
And I would agree with all of those.
Yeah. I would agree with those. You make Todd look like a stiff, so that's hard to do.
For real.
I gotta start drinking a pot of coffee, clearly.
I got hair in my mouth.
Are you trying to beatbox?
Now I know what cats feel like. It's kind of. Before we run out of time, I do gotta say that a special shout out goes out to Braden, our student of the month. What's
there
up?
There you go. What's up, Braden?
This kid is awesome. Okay.
Awesome.
Well, you know, you showed the book already, but what is there a really good book or a blog that you're reading right now that you'd recommend to others?
I read email, and I got a lot of those. I read Twitter. I'm writing blogs. See, here's the deal. I majored in writing. I love writing. And it comes naturally to me. I just whip out a whole bunch of things. I don't so much read in my free time, but I do read. I do read whatever I get sent to on Twitter. I love the Twitter chat because then they'll say, read this blog, it's about this. I'm like, ooh, I'll read that. So I like reading things in snidbits. I don't so much read for fun as play video games. I know that's a horrible teacher answer. But
video you games. Really are a kid.
I would love to just be in your class one day to see how crazy this is. I mean, I know my students did a Google Hangout with yours, a mystery Google Hangout, and all your kids were dressed as pirates that day, and my kids are still talking about that because they could stop laughing.
No, the deal is they're pissed that he's not their teacher is what the deal is.
Probably so. Because let me tell you, Brad Wade does a Google Hangout every Friday with my homeroom, and they're obsessed with him because they think he's hilarious. And then another one of my classes did this thing with Jeremy, and now all they do is ask about Mr. Heath and where when's the pirate guy coming back.
Yeah, when is the pirate guy coming back? There he is.
The pirate guy comes and goes. It's in phases. I might be schizophrenic. I don't know, but why label? Why do we need labels? Bipolar, whatever. We don't need labels. We're all having fun.
So, Jeremy, looking back to like maybe the beginning of your career, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, what's a piece of advice that you would look back and give yourself?
Really? I like the road that I took. I mean, I had struggles, I had challenges. There were days where I was really low. There was years where I was feeling low, but all that helped me to grow. I learned something because of it. So last year, I was teaching a split class, the biggest class in the school, 29 students. I know that might not be big to some people, but ours was the largest class. It had the most ELL and ESL students, and I was doing my national boards. It was so much work, I had to shut off my personal life. So I didn't attend like anybody's birthday parties or anything. And even challenging years like those, it made me realize that life, even though it seems really rotten sometimes, it does work out. Everything works out. Your kids will be fine. Everybody's going to be fine. Stop worrying and stressing so much that things have to get done, because they will get done. And in the end, that's not our job to ensure that everybody gets 100% on a test. Our job is to nurture, support, encourage, excite and inspire kids. At least that's what I think my job is. So really, I would tell my former self, good luck, buddy.
Sounds good. I like that. Now, what's something that you're really passionate about right now?
Teaching. I mean, really, I actually have dreamed lessons. I woke up and go, ooh, that's a good lesson. I should write that down. I should really do that. Wow. I just love teaching. I think about it when I go to stores. I think about it at the gym. I think about it when I'm riding my bike. I think about it when I'm walking my dog. I look at things and try to see what lesson can I make out of that. I'm even thinking of new lessons while I'm teaching a current lesson. My brain is not ever shutting off, and it's because I have such a passion for it. That and entertaining, making these cool things. Actually, my students made this one.
That, like, those are impressive.
They are. I gotta say, Jeremy, you know, the more I see what you do and the way you act and the kind of things you do with your kids, it's very reminiscent to me of Ron Clark and what I have seen that he does. And that's supposed to be a compliment if you know Ron Clark, because he just does some incredible things as well.
He's a cool guy. Actually, it's funny that you said that. Right when I was student teaching, I attended a conference. This is 10 years ago. Shut up, I'm not old. And, push for you. Yeah. 30, not I attended a conference 10 years ago when I was student teaching, and Ron Clark was the speaker, and I actually got his autographed book, and I read that thing cover to cover. And he helped inspire me, too. So I do take that as a compliment. I do think that some of us forget that we're teaching kids, and I just recently put a quote on Twitter. Sometimes we forget that we're teaching kids because we're teaching kids, meaning that we are focusing so much on the teaching aspect of it, and we forget that they're children. These are little bodies. They're people that love life, and in some ways, we almost try to stifle that. Instead, I think we should encourage their creativity and just smile and have fun.
I love that. Well, Jeremy, yeah, we really want to thank you for coming on our show tonight and sharing with us some of your mini wardrobe, background, voice, character, personality changes that we got to experience.
I'm not a loose cannon. What are you talking about?
I got to say, that's a conversation Jeremy and I had yesterday about. I said he was a loose cannon and we didn't know what to expect with having him on the show. But, Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate you giving us some of your time tonight.
Oh, my God.
I like being on here. Thanks for having me. This is an awesome show. Edgy's All-Stars is awesome. So is Go Noodle. I'm going to do meditation.
Okay. So for those of you that are still watching or listening, you can connect with... you can connect with Jeremy on Twitter at TeachHeath. And you can connect with us on Twitter at EduAllStarsHQ and by following the hashtag EduAllStars. You can also watch this episode again if you're that entertained or watch any of our former episodes on EduAllStars.com/podcast. And you can download these episodes on iTunes by searching EduAllStars with no spaces.
And then join us next Monday, May 5th, as we interview Vice Principal John Harper at 7 p.m. Central. And then Monday, May 12th, we're going to interview Ryan Devlin at 8 p.m. Central.
And we would also like to once again thank Go Noodle for sponsoring the podcast for the next few episodes. They make a really fun product. And we hope that you go to eduallstars.com and see how you can sign up for your free account today.
Thank you, Jeremy, for the little slide across nice commercial as we close out the show. We appreciate
it. I don't know why Keegan is having trouble focusing. I have no idea.
Well, thanks again, Jeremy. And yes, and there's Jeremy, what's your website address?
Hey, I decided to name it Engage Now to get people to remember that it's all about engaging students. All they can do is type in Engage Now and Heath, or they can find my website just by typing in Jeremy Heath. Or Mr. Heath, or that weird guy that dresses up a lot. I'm sure you'll get me. It doesn't matter.
Well, thanks again, Jeremy, and we will catch you later.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Adios.